So I would like to request our chief guest, Honorable Dr. Ibrahim Najm, Secretary General of Darul Ifta, Senior Advisor of Grand Mufti of Egypt. Please welcome Dr. Ibrahim Najm.
يا رب لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا ما رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا ولك الحمد أبدا أبدا اللهم صلي على سيدنا محمد في الأولين وصلي على سيدنا محمد في الآخرين وصلي على سيدنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We listened to the beautiful qiraat recitation from our dear Hafiz Amir Hussein al-Azhari. Anybody knows which opening verses, which surah he was reciting? Which surah he was reciting? Surah Ibrahim. Very good. There is one verse he recited beautifully, which reminds us that one of the basic functions of prophets is to remind the people about Ayyam Allah, the days of Allah. وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Remind them about the days of Allah. And if you look into what the great commentators of our deen said about this particular verse, you could easily see that what they are saying is that these are the days in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed His favor on humanity. These are the great days in which we ought to remember and to cherish. In the example of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he had also these great days, the days in which he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt and out of the tyranny of Pharaoh, was يَوْمٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. In the days of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also had great days. As a matter of fact, each and every day, each and every moment he had was also يَوْمٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. And I humbly say this in front of you, that today is also يَوْمٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. It is a day ought to be remembered and cherished, because it is a great day that will run into the course of history. Of history, I'm not saying of Muslims in Great Britain, but I'm talking about human history. And there are few remarkable events and days that change the course of human history. I was sharing with my beloved brother, Sheikh Dr. Musharraf Hussein, about a famous historian of science. His name is Thomas Kuhn. Thomas Kuhn. He wrote a great book. It's called The Structure of Scientific Revolution. And he spoke about a term that scholars often use nowadays. It's called paradigm shift. Paradigm shift. He was talking about history of science and how a revolutionary theory takes over another theory. And I really recall this concept, and I put it in the context of this great night's theme. It is really a paradigm shift. It is really a turning point between two periods, the literalistic, legalistic, archaic translations of the Quran, and the lucid, clear, plain, and value-oriented translation of the Quran. Value-oriented, something that our dear Sheikh spoke about. And this is actually one of the basic teachings of the Quran. The great teacher, Sheikh Muhammad al-Ghazali, alayhi rahmatullah, who passed away in 1996. He said that and he was a great commentator of the Quran, and Sheikh Sa, he benefited a lot from his last work. It's called At-Tafsir al-Mawdu'i li Suwar al-Quran al-Kareem, or the thematic tafsir of the chapters of the Quran. So he is of the opinion that, and you could easily agree with him, that if you look out and see how many verses are there in the Quran, 6,000 plus, he said more than 90% of the Quran talks about ethical morality. Whether we are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our relationship with Him, whether we are talking about the accounts of the previous people and prophets, or we are talking about how we should behave with ourselves, with our fellow human beings, it is actually, in essence, the overwhelming majority of the verses of the Quran talks about akhlaq, talks about morality and ethics. So in translation, if we do not appreciate the centrality of ethics, how is it that we are going to produce a translation that echoes the essence of the Quran? It is for those who experience those tasty things about Islam that they will be able to render the moral teachings of the Quran into plain English. For those who have not experienced akhlaq in their hearts and in their dealings and their behaviors, they will fail to render one of the most important aspects of this Quran. So in today and this evening, I hope and pray that the theme of this evening, the translation of Dr. Musharraf Hussain Al-Azhari, becomes a trend setter for all, not only the translations, but all the works about the Quran. It will set, hopefully, inshallah, with your efforts and your prayers and your sacrifices, it will set a trend for a new cadre of scholars about the Quran, who are concerned to give the message of guidance in its clear language, in its clear lessons for Muslims and non-Muslims. My second point, my dear brothers and sisters, I was preparing a long speech, but of course all the ulama before me have talked about the greatness of the Quran. And I'm not going to repeat what has been said. But let us talk about the issue from a different perspective. My dear brothers and sisters, look into the situation of Arabs before the commission of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the last messenger of Allah. Their social dealings, their political situation, the fact, the place of women, how they treated women, how they were savage, sometimes bloodthirsty people. They could wage a war on the flimsiest of reasons. And this war takes place for 10 years, 20, 30, 40 years. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commissioned our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the seal of prophets and messengers, and then Allah blessed humanity with the revelation of the Quran, a new chapter of history started. Few years later, few decades later, Muslims became the masters of civilization at that time. And it continued for more than almost 1,000 years afterwards. What was the secret? How these Arabs, savage Arabs, were transformed into the masters of civilized world back then? How? And you could easily, as I shared with you, come to the conclusion it is because of two things. It was because of the document, the Quran, the last revelation, and also because of a man who taught this Quran in the full sense of the word to a group of Arabs at that time. And the document and the messenger, the teacher, transformed all of Arabia, and they became the masters of civilization. Now, I don't want to get into details about this, because I know that you have been sitting for a long time, but I would like just to draw your attention to how the Muslims, how the companions took the Quran seriously. Not only at the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the golden era of Islam. This was the actual walking Quran, so to speak, to such an extent that a group of companions came and asked our beloved mother, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by the character, they were looking for sort of a blueprint of each and everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. And she was so genius that she gave a very precise answer to them. And they understood exactly what she meant by this statement. When she said, radiallahu anha, كان خلقه القرآن. Three words. كان خلقه القرآن. He was a walking Quran. They argued back with her. They did not tell her, so what do you mean by this? They understood exactly what she was referring to. So I was saying how the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim took the Quran seriously, even after the demise of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You could see them memorizing the Quran. You could see them putting the Quran in a book form through scrutiny. You could see them opening madrasas, schools of the Quran teaching. You could see them afterwards putting some sort of a methodology for understanding the book. You could see them, in other words, doing their homework at that time to make the Quranic message relevant to the people. And this Again, I'm emphasizing, this was the reason why Muslims became the masters of civilization. And later on, years after years, decades after decades, something wrong have gone. Something wrong took place. And basically, we could also argue about what has gone wrong, since now, alhamdulillah, we have the Quran, not only copies of the Quran, but hearts and minds that carry the Quran. Alhamdulillah, this is one of the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved and protected this Quran by making its hifz and its remembrance easy for minds and hearts. If you look at the Quran competition in Malaysia, this is one of my favorite shows in Ramadan. And you could see this international competition. Hundreds of Huffaz coming from non-Arab countries. They don't speak Arabic. They could hardly carry a simple conversation. But they excel in their memorization and qira'at and tajweed, a lot of Arabs. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actualized the preservation of this Quran. Just imagine, sometimes we get very sad that some Islamophobes, they tear the Quran and they just think that, you know, by tearing the Quran, somehow we will help reduce its impact and its value among Muslims. And we very confidently should say to these people, even if you burn all of the copies of the Quran is preserved in the hearts and chests and minds of millions of Muslims. So my dear brothers and sisters, the ulama back then did their homework to make the message of the Quran relevant. We have a gap. And you could easily understand this gap in many different ways. One of them is that, as Dr. Saab said, when you present a copy of the Quran, it is not appealing, it is not inviting, it is not consistent, it is not coherent, that the person, you know, is put off, sort of. And my contention, and take it from me, my brothers and sisters, we shall be asked about this. We shall be asked about this. We shall be asked about this. And that's why this great night is an attempt, a humble attempt, a humble attempt. It's the first step to a long road, to bringing the relevant, and a very particular word, the word relevant message of the Quran to humanity. And I just humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide Dr. Musharraf and all of us, to be part of this movement. And he chose the word movement. So it is not just a rendering of the Quran in plain English, but we would like to start a movement, and the translation will be a first step of a long walk. And as Sheikh Saab said, the destination for us is very clear. It is paradise, inshallah. So I urge you in conclusion to be part of this movement. And my dear brothers and sisters, Islam did not come to us on a silver platter. Islam came to us through sacrifices. So without sacrifice, we are not going to go anywhere. Our efforts, our money, our time, our energy, our talents, networking, helping out, spreading the message, this is what we need. This is a humble start, and I would like to end by saying that it is my honor personally and Dar al-Ifta's honor that we had the privilege of reviewing the translation, and we hope to be part of the story of success, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.